Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the audio conference call of Prumo Participações e Investimentos S.A.'s financial results for the first quarter of 2020. Thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we'll conduct a question-and-answer session, and instructions to participate will be given at that time. If you should require assistance during the call, please press the star key followed by zero. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. Today with us, we have Eugênio Figueiredo, the CEO and CFO of Prumo Participações e Investimentos S.A., and CFO of Prumo Logística S.A. I would now like to turn the conference over to Mr. Figueiredo. Please go ahead, sir.
Okay, thank you very much. Good morning to everybody. First, I'd like to thank you all to join this first quarter 2020 call. We'll go through the highlights and a brief presentation, then we will open to a Q&A session. Please, if there's something we didn't touch, please feel free to have on the Q&A your questions. First, talking a little bit about the highlights for this quarter. During the first quarter on Ferroporte gross revenues, we have a growth of 21% compared to the same period in 2019, amounting 225 million BRL. The iron ore volume handled at the terminal was 6.2 million tons, which represents an increase of 38% compared to Q1 2019. In March 2020 was the volume record handled at the terminal with 2.4 million tons of iron ore, which means actually a pace of 28.8 million tons, following the same amount that it was handled in March. The number of ships from the oil terminal entering and paying port access fees totaled 31 in the quarter. Ferroporte EBITDA summed 126 million BRL in the period. As a result of the increase in revenues and EBITDA, Ferroporte distributes to Prumopar and to Anglo 97.2 million BRL within the first quarter 2020 as IC loans repayments, out of which 39.2 million as principal and 57.9 million as interest repayments. Prumopar received 47.2 million net of taxes, which represents almost 160% above the figure of the first quarter in 2019. Ferroporte was positively impacted by the FX movement, increasing revenues in BRL through the conversion of the U.S. amounts into more reais. The FX movement compensated the PPI negative adjustment as the variation of the PPI, which corrects the tariff for last year, was a negative 1.63%.
Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen, please hold. Mr. Figueiredo, we cannot hear you.
Sorry, can you hear me now? Hello?
Yeah, you may proceed. Thank you.
Okay. Sorry. Going back a little bit, I don't know when it cut. The take-or-pay total amount increased in 21% if you compare it year-over-year. The total EBITDA amount 16%, and on the first quarter, Ferroporte faced 81.3% EBITDA margin in the period. As we stated in our last call, Ferroporte registered in 2019 the revenues from the settlement agreement signed with Anglo, and for that, Ferroporte received 60 million USD on April 20, 2020, and use these amounts after taxes payments and netting of arbitration expenses to distribute to shareholders through IC loans repayments. On April 27, Prumopar delivered a notice that a Tara payment trigger occurred, which constitutes a mandatory redemption event according to the indenture. This occurred to give the flexibility on changing the port access tariffs as stated on the indenture. The prepayment amount of $29.2 million, the total amount for the Tara representing 8.5% of the outstanding debt amount. Talking a little bit about the impact of the coronavirus, all companies of the Prumo Group, Ferroport included, have adopted home office activities for the headquarters in Rio offices and the administrative staff. So operations remain in place, and the take-or-pay contract with Anglo remains in course without any interruption. We didn't see any setback on the operations at the terminal itself, so everything is flowing just fine. If we become aware of any material or relevant impact on Ferroport operations due to that, a notice will be released to all bondholders as required under our reporting obligations on the indenture. Moving up to talk a little bit about the financial highlights, we're going to go through the main figures from Ferroport and Prumopar briefly. Total net revenues increased by 20.5%, mainly to the average FX going from 3.77 BRL per USD in the first quarter 2019 to an average of 4.47 in the first quarter 2020. The negative PPI, as I said in the beginning of this call, decreased the tariff by 1.63%, leading to a tariff of 6.99 per wet metric ton to the year of 2020 to be the base for the calculation of the take-or-pay times the total volume of 26.6 million tons. Costs increased 13.8%, driven mainly by the increase in the iron ore volume handled at the terminal, and expenses increased roughly around 7 million BRL with items related to the arbitration and mainly due to the price of energy sales that dropped within the period compared to the last year. Quarter ended with a net income of 84.6 million BRL in Ferroport, almost 50% increase when compared to 2019. At the balance sheet of Ferroport, the main movement that it's worth in highlight is the increase on the cash and securities that amounted to 137 million compared to roughly 40 million BRL in 2019. And if we take a look to the cash flow at Ferroport, the CapEx activities amounted 5.5 million BRL, mainly related to the repowering of the piling system at the yard. We can see there that it was amortized 39.3 million BRL of principal from IC loans. Movements worth in highlights in Prumopar itself. We have the main impact in the period driven by the real depreciation against the USD. We can see that there was a loss of a little bit higher than 350 million BRL due to this FX movement. And these FX movement caused as well a debt increase in BRL terms as reported in the balance sheet to a total amount of 1.7 billion BRL. Those were actually the main items that we think it worth highlighting on the first quarter. And we can move forward to a Q&A session if we have some questions from the participants here.
Ladies and gentlemen, we now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press the star key followed by the one key on your touchtone phone now. If at any time you would like to remove yourself from the questioning queue, please press star 2. Excuse me, as a reminder, if you would like to pose a question, please press the star key followed by the one key on your touchtone phone now. Our first question comes from Thomas Lehmann's Barings.
Hello, thank you for taking my call. I have a question regarding the Tara account. So I understand that you're gonna do this partial prepayment of the bonds. But looking forward, do you still need to fill the Tara account, or the Tara account, once you did this prepayment, no longer exists? This is the first question. The second question is, can you tell us what's going to be the debt service after this prepayment? And the third one is, maybe you can give me some color around how has been the handling at the port in the months after the first quarter, meaning April and May, if the production at the mine has been operating normally, or if you have seen any impact in the logistics. Thanks.
Okay, Thomas, thanks for your question. First, regarding the Tara, it's a one-time event. So after fulfilling with the 8.5% of the outstanding amounts and making that repayment, then it's no longer mandatory to fulfill. So it's one-time event, as you mentioned. And regarding the amounts, we have projected for the next payments this year on June 30th, 14.18 million USD, which comprises the interests and amortization payments. And on December, a little bit above 18 million USD on repayments for this year. Okay. After we prepay the amount that holds today on the Tara, then we'll have the whole curve being adjusted, and so we'll have the whole curve going a little bit down in terms of amortization because of this prepayment. So this will be reflected on the following payments after the Tara prepayment amount that will take place in June 30th. Talking about the iron ore volumes, that was the second part of your question. We're actually not seeing any negative impacts on those. On the contrary, so Anglo is ramping up their production at the mine. What we can see in terms of marketing of iron ore, especially the iron ore prices, are going up. So today, actually yesterday in China, they were above 100 USD per ton. Anglo is willing to produce as much as they can and ramping up. As I stated here, the volumes in March were the record, and the idea that we received from Anglo is that they will keep ramping up bit by bit this year, and no negative pushbacks on the volumes will happen. And actually, so far, not at all impacts from any COVID or related to COVID on the mine or the transportation or the handling, which is the whole chain before going to the ship and exporting that iron ore.
Okay, thanks. If I may ask one more question. So I wanted to go through the FX exposure. I mean, obviously your revenues are in dollars, especially the ones from Anglo. Can you clarify if the transshipment are also in dollars, and also if you can explain your costs, in which currency are they? And finally, once you pay the amounts to Prumo, is there a conversion to US dollar as a covenant? I mean, meaning are they forced to convert to dollars, or is there an exposure in the meantime, or not?
Yeah, so let me recap the whole discussion we had since we were at the roadshow. We always marketed that we are on the right side of this movement, usually because the depreciation of the BRL against the USD brings actually more amounts from the USD denominated take or pay amounts into BRL. And as we have the vast majority of the costs related in BRL, then when you look everything into USD, those are actually compressed in USD terms, so the margin is going up. We do have a process of even though it's again, we are on the right side of that, and we receive the take or pay monthly, which means we're following the curve of the depreciation of the BRL against the USD on each and every month. We do have a process which is hedging all the payments that Prumo Par is receiving from Ferroporte against the next payment of the notes. So remember, we have two payments for the note holders per year, June and December, and we do receive the distributions from Ferroporte to Prumo Par every month. So we're hedging all those every month against the next payment that's in June or December of that year. So the first payment in January, we're hedging for 6 months until the payment in June, and then so forth and so on for 5, 4, 3, 2, and we'll have the same payment. So we're covering, even though again it's not theoretically necessary because we're on the right side of that movement, we're just for the comfort of the whole operation, we're doing that as described in the indenture in the beginning of our discussion back there last year.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much.
As a reminder, if you would like to pose a question, please press the star key followed by the one key on your touch-tone phone now. This concludes today's question and answer session. I would like to invite Mr. Eugenio Figueiredo to proceed with his closing statements. Please go ahead, sir.
Okay, I would like to thank you all again for joining this call. We're monitoring very close any potential impacts at the terminal. So again, we will be issuing notice to all bondholders if there's something that could have an impact on our operations here. And we'll be in touch for the next call with the results of the second quarter pretty soon. Thank you very much.
That does conclude Prumo Participações Investimentos S.A. financial results for the first quarter of 2020 audio conference for today. Thank you very much for your participation. Have a good day, and thank you for using Chorus Call.